this last tape, chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Do you believe we can? All right, open your Bibles. We'll go swiftly as we can and cover it as carefully as we can. We'll open our Bibles to the 16th chapter of Revelation, and we were down to the 7th vial of God's judgment, the last vial. When the 7th vial of God's judgment is poured out, it's the last of the 21 plagues that God will allow to be poured out by angels on planet Earth. 7 seals found in Revelation 6 through 8. 7 trumpeter sound, Revelation 9, concludes in the 12th chapter with finally the dispersion of Satan from heaven. He's confined to this earth. He no longer has access to the throne of God. Then the 7 vials, the last 7 plagues of God's judgment and wrath that we dealt with in the last chapter. And friend, if these chapters doesn't make you want to pray and fast and be faithful and love God, then you do not have any chance of being in the rapture. Get ready, you ransomed of Zion. The purpose of the book is to get you ready. Blessed is he that heareth and readeth these sayings of mine. Chapter 16, and we're down to the last one. Notice verse number 17. Now, we were just closing at Armageddon's battle. We'll discuss Armageddon because it's found again in the 19th chapter of Revelation. We gave you the chapters to read about Armageddon. Zechariah 14, Joel chapter number 3, Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 19, all deal with the battle, the last battle of Armageddon, and that's what it is. Because Jesus Christ will win that battle with a word from his mouth. One word from the Lord, and Armageddon is won. Hallelujah. So let's look now at the last one. Chapter 16, verse 17, and the 7th angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, and from the throne saying, it is done. This is the judgment finished. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such as was not since men were upon earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This may coincide with that earthquake described in Revelation 6. He said, I saw an earthquake that every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. If this does not coincide, and I'm not necessarily that it does, for the 6th seal judgment seems to be quite earlier than this, then there are several earthquakes that are going to take place in this 7-year period that will shake this universe. Revelation chapter number 14 describes an earthquake that'll hit Jerusalem. They'll kill 7,000 alone. God Almighty said that not only the earth would shake in Revelation 6, but stars would shake, and they would rain down on planet Earth as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Don't think that God doesn't have all things at his disposal. He said, I'll laugh at them and hold them in derision. Kings of the earth may rage against him, but his ultimate goal is eternal victory for the saints. Hallelujah. Now we read it. And the great earthquake, such as was not. I'm convinced that this is not the earthquake in Revelation 6. And if it is not, then this is far greater than the earthquake that shook every island, every mountain trembled at one command. God Almighty still has things under control. And your Bible said this whole earth is groaning and travailing right now. She's in a stir on the inside. There's unrest in the heart of this earth. She's groaning to be delivered from the curse that is upon it. Revelation chapter 16, and the great city was divided into 3 parts. The cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. When you preach the love of God, and I can't overemphasize grace, and I can't overemphasize his love, But these Johnny-come-lately prophets, that are all fair weather and all blessing prophets, are not preaching a true gospel. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. It's still in your Bible. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is written that our God is a consuming fire. Revelation 6 talks about the great day of his wrath. This chapter talks about the fierceness of his wrath. Isaiah 61, the day of vengeance of our God. There's a lot of difficulty. Men are going to give account to God. They've not neglected righteousness and thumbed their nose at truth and scoffed at righteousness and walked over the bidding of the Holy Spirit without meeting a payday someday. Here it is, his fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Seemed to shake to the ground, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague was exceeding great. So now we've seen God Almighty bring planet Earth into a different focus. Mountains shake and crumble and fall into valleys. We're seeing God's eternal power and majesty. And there came one of the seven angels, chapter 17, that talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I'll show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, remember, Revelation is an unveiling book. And the purpose of the book is not to create mystery, but to unveil. So we come to the 17th chapter of the Revelation, and we meet a strange woman. Called Mystery Babylon, not Babylon in 18. This is a different Babylon than chapter 18. Babylon in chapter 18 is a literal city that will crumble and fall. And I'm convinced it will be rebuilt Babylon. But chapter 17 is Mystery Babylon. There's some things involved in this. Let's share it together. So it carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the beast here is easily identified. That's the beast we just saw rise up out of the sea of humanity, chapter 13. So we know who the beast is. It's the man of sin who becomes Antichrist. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Probably two kinds of fornication, literal fornication and spiritual fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Now it's a veiled Babylon, hidden Babylon. You wouldn't detect it was Babylon. The word mystery here is concealed, or you would not have detected it was Babylon. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman, the beast that carried her, that had seven heads and 10 horns, and the beast that thou sawest, that was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. They that dwell upon the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." Here is a startling truth. We dealt with it when we were with chapter 13. But the beast that was, and then he is not, and he yet is, and shall ascend out of the pit, was a startling mystery to me for years. I had much difficulty with these verses of Scripture. I think now that I understand them, that the man of sin will be assassinated in Jerusalem when he sets himself and desecrates the temple. Daniel chapter 12 said, when he shall be the abomination of desolation, and he will only have 1,290 days to rule. Your Bible lets us know Jesus spoke of the same thing, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. When you see this, run. So now we understand this beast with seven heads and 10 horns is that last form of Gentile rule. He's the last ruler before Christ comes back in his power to reign. He will be Antichrist. He will try to exactly mimic the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he will be incarnate with the power of the devil. And the man of sin, who is a world ruler, will become Antichrist whenever life comes back in his body and the whole world wonders after him and worships him. And he becomes a world figure by miracles, by sign, by coming forth from the dead. And he will hate the saints and will hate the remnant of Israel. I wish we could spend an hour here again on the subject, but time is in essence. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains that must associate this mystery woman, this mother of harlots, full of abomination, that must associate her with Rome. Babylonian cults were moved into Rome, and pagan Babylon, who was founded by Nimrod. Do you remember God Almighty called it Babylon because they were going to build a tower that would reach to heaven? God came down, confounded their languages, and Nimrod was the first type of Antichrist found in your Bible. Then they claimed that Nimrod's wife, what is her name? Samaris, rose from the dead, and she was called the Holy Woman and produced a child, which was Babylon's king. And the mother worship and the Madonna came from Babylon. Easter egg came from Babylon. The bunny rabbit worship that we have on Easter pagan came from pagan Babylon. The setting up of the priesthood and making the priest the vicar of Jesus Christ sprang out of a mixture of Christian faith and Babylonian heathenistic customs. I could go into great detail. In fact, they even moved when Babylon fell, was overrun by the Medes and Persians. They moved its headquarters into Pergamos and later brought it into Rome. And Romanism, Babylonianism, and Christian Romanism merged together under Constantine, and we got part pagan and part religious practices. There, therefore, men worshiped previous saints that had died, bowed to idols, did a lot of things. But it's startling. I picked up a little article the other day. It was a startling article to me. How many people have been killed, massacred, slain by the power of that Seven Hill mother of harlots? I looked at it closely in the Bible, and I read it with caution, and then I found some evidence inside of literature that I wanted to share with you this morning. I found in this reading that there has been at least over a dozen priests of the Roman Church that were total infidels and atheists, did not even believe in God, that set culture and practice inside of the Roman Church. I am not saying to you today that Mystery Babylon is the Roman Church, but I am saying Rome is connected with it, and it came out of old Babylon with its paganistic teaching and much of the things that are involved in it today that robbed it of its eternal purpose, that tried to rob the church of its eternal purpose. So we know now it's associated with seven mountains. Then there are seven kings. Seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. Five, I'm convinced this is seven kingdoms. For I know that the seventh one is a kingdom. I know that the sixth one was then in power, so that is a kingdom. So I'm convinced the previous five were kingdoms. If the previous five were kingdoms, and I'm convinced they are, they're five kings, then we begin with Egypt, and then with Assyria, and then with Babylonia, then with Medo-Persia, and then with the Grecian Empire, And then the Roman Empire, which was then in power when John received this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. The next one will be 10 kingdom confederacy. One king will yet come. And out of that 10 kingdom, preacher, how do you know that the next one is the 10 kingdom? Because this eighth one is the man of sin, and he is of the seventh, and he is the eighth, and he goeth into perdition, and it lets me know that he comes out of that kingdom. Daniel confirmed it in chapter 7. Daniel confirmed it in chapter number 8. It's also confirmed again in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. So the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition, and the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms that have received no power as yet, but they'll have power 1 hour with the beast. They'll have one mind, and they'll give their power and their strength unto the beast. Here's a startling thing. I want to give you some differences now between Mystery Babylon and chapter 18 Babylon. Mystery Babylon, God put it in the hearts of the 10 kings, the revised Roman Empire. No doubt its boundaries will be much larger. God Almighty did not confine its boundaries to the old original, but a revised Roman Empire will have 10 kingdoms, and the 10 kingdoms, God will put it in their heart to hate the whore and burn her flesh with fire and destroy her, and to give their power not to a mystery Babylon, not to a woman that is supported by the beast, or that controls the beast. For when I saw her, she was mounted on the back of the beast. But here's what he said. God will allow it and put it in their hearts to burn her flesh with fire. Because they will accomplish his will and give their power to the beast, till God's perfect will be accomplished. It thrills me how the devil plays right into the hands of God's eternal program. He is in opposition to all of heaven's desire, and yet he plays, and every time he overplays his hand. And exactly now, these 10 kings destroy this mystical religious Babylon. This religious system falls. Don't leave here and say that I've told you that this religious system is the Catholic Church. We're in a day of ecumenicalism, and it could include a mixture of religions that will conglomerate for this last end time prophecy and fulfill this woman. But the Bible does let us know it is Mystery Babylon. She shed the blood of saints. She is a violent martyr of the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. And God said, I'm going to avenge your blood. Remember, heaven keeps its promises. Now, if you'll move quickly with me, we'll move the city where the woman is, that city. It's that city, Babylon. Out of that city, verse number 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I want you to mark something on your calendar. Watch Iran, Iraq, and Syria emerge as world powers in this end time prophecy. Watch Iran become a major force in world power. We've seen it topple in the last few days, but this Bible predicts it's going to influence things under the rule of the man of sin. This lets me know that no doubt Babylon will be a city that will come into being suddenly under the focus and under the ambition of the man of sin, who will be the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 18, you're seeing a city now. It's a localized city. Must be a city of wealth, a city of commerce, a city of trade, a city of sorcery, a city of soothsayers, a city of devil inhabitation, city of sin, a city of wickedness, vile, corrupt, mighty Babylon. Babylon has oppressed Israel for years. When you read the book of Lamentations, I heard Jeremiah say, there is no sorrow come upon Judah like the sorrow that's befallen us. He said that the wickedness, or the destruction rather, of Sodom and Gomorrah was not compared to the hunger that was brought about by the oppression of Babylon upon the city of Judah. So there's a reckoning day. God Almighty keeps records in His book. One hour this city falls. Now then, the kings didn't destroy her. The kings destroyed mystery Babylon. But this city falls with a violence. God told an angel, cast a stone into the sea. And as this stone is cast into the sea, so will political Babylon fall in 1 hour. And the kings and the merchants lamented her falling. The ships were sitting in the Persian Gulf and they were crying. Cities and men, businessmen and merchants that were trading with their delicacies. And he lists them all. They were crying because Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen, and God sends an angel, even according to Revelation 14, and he circles the earth and announces, Babylon is fallen. Well, when Babylon fell, no doubt the New York Times carried an article, and NBC TV said, what a tragedy has struck a new city. A city of influence, a city of commerce, a city of wealth, a city of power, a city of wicked spirits. Babylon will be called a liberated city. Every vile thing you want to do will be condoned in that wicked, vile city, according to Revelation 18. But all of a sudden, God's hand of judgment brings Babylon to the ground, and she falls with a crushing blow from the hand of Jehovah. And they get word in heaven that Babylon fell. Hallelujah. Saints don't lament in heaven when they hear Babylon fell. You know what they do? They have camp meeting. While the kings and the merchants are crying, alas, at last, what a tragedy. You know what they're saying in heaven? Hallelujah. Woo! Things you call tragic down here, saints shout over on the other side. Alas, I want to know, are you in the alas group? Or are you in the hallelujah group? Hallelujah. I mentioned the disco burned up. Hallelujah. Your paper said, alas, we had a tragedy. The disco burned. Hollywood films, filth and smut went to pot. Amen. Larry Flint quit. Somebody called him a born-again Christian. He's about as much a born-again Christian as a mule is an aviator. Let me challenge you, my brother. This thing changes your life if you get right with God. Things are real when you find real salvation. So in heaven, they got news. When we move to this 19th chapter, and I'm going to have to move here because I've got so much here in one tape we'll not cover it. But when you get to the 19th chapter, you've got saints, glorified, hallelujah, raptured saints around the throne, and they're having one more camp meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory and honor and praise. The book opens with worship, and in the middle of it, it has a wedding, and the last of it, it has a war. Hallelujah. So we've got worship, wedding, and war in the 19th chapter. Let's talk about it a little while. Saints are in heaven are going to have a spell. In fact, to the business, I believe I can tell you what saints are doing in heaven now. I don't believe you go to any resting place where you sleep for 1,000 years and then he wakes you up. I believe the souls of men are in the presence of my Jesus. There they know what's going on. And if I read my Bible right, the saints that die now go to be straight with the Lord. An angel carries them into the presence of my Lord. Paul said to depart is to be with Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Paul said, I'm in a great strait to go home. He calls it home. I believe the saints are in heaven looking over the shoulder of the recording angel. And every time he writes down a new name that got saved, they have a camp meeting up there. That's why the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repented more than 99. Heaven breaks loose in another hallelujah spell. Hallelujah. But before we get to the marriage supper, there's something got to happen. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, for my time is in essence. But we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I know there's a lot of folks plan on skipping into glory and you're going to just have a spell, but I doubt seriously if that's the way you go in. Now, you're going to have one when you get there. Some of you folks that don't believe in shouting will probably get an apartment next to mine. It'll disturb you throughout all eternity. And I don't know, some of you folks, if you got to heaven, would have to have an angel standing by your side to nudge you and say, it's time to say hallelujah again. Let's talk about a little while. You'll appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said it's possible that your works would be burned and you're just barely there. You say, well, Brother Brankle, if I make it, that's all I care. No, you don't. We're going to have an eternal position in the kingdom of God. The Bible said we're going to reign kings on this earth. In fact, to the business, your Bible lets me know there's going to be nations and kingdoms and kings throughout all eternity. Not only are we going to reign in the millennium, but God's going to have leadership, headship, amen, and nations during all eternity. For I have read in Revelation, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to get over there. Revelation 21 of the eternal city, the new Jerusalem, not the millennial Jerusalem, which is literal Jerusalem when the mountain cleaves asunder and Mount Olive opens its mouth. But in the new Jerusalem, he said the kings of the nation will bring their glory into the city and the doors shall not be shut by day or by night. Pastor, we've got an eternal program. I've just got started in this big plan of salvation. Paul called this the earnest. I just got the engagement ring. Hallelujah. But we're on our way to a marriage supper, friends. But you got to come to the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to look back at this life and hate yourself because you live so much for the flesh to gratify the things of the flesh. You'll never miss a prayer meeting, but what you won't hate yourself. If you make it there, I'm not sure you're going to. Now shout. But if you make it in, you're going to despise how foolish we've lived and how much time we've wasted. Friends, our responsibility is to tell this world about Jesus Christ. And he's going to reward us according to our works. I don't know where it's found in your Bible. It seems like it's in Hezekiah. You're sending up your furniture for your mansion. I've never read it in the Bible, but it seemed like it may be Hezekiah. Any of you read Hezekiah lately? Oh, you haven't. Well, it may be in the second chapter where you're going to have furniture for your mansion. But isn't it going to look strange for some folks sitting on the floor all through glory? When we come over to share with you our testimony, you'll be over in your little dwelling sitting on the floor. Get some works. You're going to be judged by your works. You're saved by grace, but you're judged by your works. And I believe when we see him on the throne in his majesty and glory and power, reigning almighty, immortal, eternal king, we're going to fall before his feet and we're going to cry, my God, how foolish I have been. Your Bible said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Sir, it's going to be a reckoning day. He said we were going to have to reckon with him, with our talents, with our time, with our money. Everything God's given you, you're going to have to give account for in that day. And then what we've done for him. He said in that day, many of their first shall be last. Some of these folks that were the big shots down here are going to be sitting on the back row. And God's going to let some unknown names walk past the whole crowd because they loved him with all of their heart. Hallelujah. And he's going to give them reward. And he's going to position us according to our faithfulness to him and our works we've wrought for him. So we're going to get to sit around the table in order according to rank. There's going to be rank in heaven. Hallelujah. He said he's that faithful over a few things, I'll make him ruler over many. He even named we'd be ruler over 10 cities. He said we had position. Can you imagine coming before the judgment seat of Christ? God Almighty said, Don Brankle, I gave you health. I gave you means of travel. I gave you a voice. I gave you a Bible. What did you do with it, sir? If we make it in, there's a lot of people that may make it in, but everything they've done will turn to ashes, and they'll have no reward or position in the eternal plan of God. I want to get in. I want to hear him say, well done. When we pass, and I this is an hour's message, so I dare not spend an hour here. At the judgment seat of Christ, we must all appear. John said that we'll not be ashamed when we get there. Oh, the shame and the sorrow. You've heard it said there'll be no tears in heaven. Don't you believe a word of it. I don't want to destroy your little funeral song, but their Bible lets me know there'll be tears in heaven. Twice in Revelation, he talked about he'd wipe tears from their eyes, and if there's not tears, what's he going to wipe out of their eyes? Two times, I believe, we'll weep in heaven, maybe a lot more. John said he wept, and when he got to the city, when he saw nobody could open the book. But I'm convinced there's two times we'll weep. One of them, when we see how foolish and how carnal and how earthly we lived, when we should have devoted our whole life to the saving of the souls of mankind. I believe we'll fall before his throne. When he gives us our little bitty crown, I'm not sure I'll get one, but he may give me a little one. Amen. If I get one about the half the size of a matchbox, and I start across heaven with that, his feet, and I'll have to join with that redeemed celestial army that said, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and might and dominion. It's going to be a glorious grand day, friends. Now we're down to the marriage supper. Have you got your Bibles open? 19th chapter of the Revelation. We're after we've thrown our crowns. I didn't finish that statement. Let me finish it, and then I'll come to the marriage supper. There'll be a second time when you'll cry in heaven. When you stand as a witness and a testimony at the white throne judgment. Now, saints will not be judged at the white throne judgment. It's the judgment of the wicked. It's the judgment of the sinner. It's the judge of those that missed the rapture and didn't love the truth, and God gave them a strong delusion. It's going to be the judgment of the nations. The judgment will be the judgment of the wicked. Everybody that ever lived on this planet Earth is going to come back at the white throne judgment. And I'll be there in a few minutes. It's in the 20th chapter. But I want to touch it now because I told you two times they'd cry. And that is at the white throne judgment, men are going to stand and testify and have to testify against their loved ones. Daniel chapter 7 said thousands and 10,000s helped him at the judgment. When mothers and fathers have to testify against their own children and their own family at the white throne judgment will be the saddest day that's ever been. When God asks you, what have you done to reach your city for God? You're going to have to give account. What have you done to witness to your neighbor? Sir, people that are in sin are far worse than terminal cancer, far worse than leprosy. And if you've got a cure for cancer this morning and you held it back while one out of every four people on earth are predestined to have cancer, you'd be the worst kind of a person I know of on planet Earth. If you had a cure for cancer and you kept the lid on it and wouldn't tell anybody, I couldn't think of anybody worse than you. But sir, we've got a remedy for something worse than cancer. I found a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. And at the white throne judgment, God said the men of Nineveh will testify against this judgment. He said that the Queen of Sheba would testify. If the Queen of Sheba is going to testify, and if the men of Nineveh is going to testify, there's going to be a lot of testimony. Sir, the purpose of the white throne judgment is not to sentence people. The purpose of it is to show them why they're sentenced. And that's why there's going to be testimony of saints, because they're going to come out of hell to get there and be cast into the lake of fire. We'll deal with that a little in the 20th chapter at length. But I'll hurry. Now I'm down to the marriage supper. Can you imagine a glorious banquet? The Bible said the Lord himself shall come forth and serve them.
Your Bible said at the marriage supper, we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And the apostles and the prophets. Isn't that going to be a grand day? When the redeemed and the blood washed gather around one holy celestial gathering, and the redeemed of the ages are in one holy banqueting hall, and we're going to drink a new wine from that eternal kingdom, and we're going to have a glorious supper with our blessed Lord at a marriage feast. Who is the bride of Christ? I'm convinced it's the blood-washed, redeemed church of the ages. Amen. I read a book the other day where they said that Jerusalem is the bride. Who'd want to marry a city? Nobody wants to marry a city. It's going to be the inhabitants of that Jerusalem. The blood-washed of all ages are going to be that glorious bride. Paul said, I've espoused you to one. All through the Bible, there's the lesson and the types of the marriage. And there's going to be a glorious marriage. Hallelujah. And we're going to sit down with our families and we're going to know each other. Paul said, then shall we know even as we are known. I've got a feeling I'll know folks in heaven. Hell, it's going to be a grand gathering around the throne of God. And your family can get together and you can enjoy your family in heaven. Makes me want to shout. Your Bible, David's, when he wept and cried over little Shimei's death. David walked the floor, and when little thing died, and David said it wasn't his fault, it was my sin. David made one of the notable statements of your Bible. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go where he is. Hallelujah. We're going to get together around the throne of God. We're going to meet loved ones that have gone on before. We've not been singing something in vain. It's in the book. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a glorious fellowship meeting and a camp meeting, Jubilee, and what a day it's going to be. We sit down with our families, father, son, and grandsons, all sitting at one table, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Families are going to be united. I want every one of my children and grandchildren around that holy throne. Whatever it takes, I hope God strips us of everything we've got, if he'll wake you up and cause you to get in church and get right and live for God. Take everything we've got. Take health, take money, but get us ready for the coming of the Lord. Now there's a scene changes. We were just the supper scene and the wedding scene. I could spend an hour on the marriage supper, but we dare not because I want to finish. There's a scene happens and I see him get up from the throne, and it's my blessed Lord and my Savior, and he has a name on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The supper's ended now. He gets up and he says, there's some difficulty back on planet Earth. We're going back, and I'm going to go back on white horses, and you saints can cross the Milky Way with me. He's coming with his saints now. The first time he's coming for us in the rapture, but now he's coming with them. This is the coming that Enoch saw. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, a spirit of prophecy fell on that old elder. And he said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly, convince the ungodly of their ungodly deeds which ungodly men have committed. And now I see him coming across the Milky Way with a holy train following him of robed white saints in shining armor, praising and adoring, and all across the Milky Way we shout hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He plants his feet upon this earth. When he does, the man of sin declares war and said, I'll take the Lamb on. He's blasphemed God, but his bargain took on too much. Because in Revelation 16, he said he already had devils, wicked spirits that come out of the mouth of the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon, and they've got all nations gathered down at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Multitudes and multitudes, Joel said, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's the day of vengeance. It's the day when he treads the winepress of the fatness alone. It's the day when he grinds to powder the 10 toes in Daniel's vision chapter 2. It's the day when Jesus Christ will bring down Gentile supremacy and the last wicked ruler will come to an end, and an angel gathers up, hallelujah, makes you want to shout. the beast and the false prophet and cast them into the lake of fire. And about that time, the word goes out of his mouth, and men are slain in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and blood will be to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. The land shall be soaked with blood. And I saw an angel standing in the sun with a buzzard collar. Buzzards! Vultures come and drink the blood of kings and nobles, for his day of his wrath and vengeance has come. I'm glad I read the last page of the book. No wonder he said, blessed are they that read this book. We're in God's big dimension. Don't let the devil talk you out of living for God now. Get faithful. Let's be ready, for they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation chapter 19 closes with Armageddon totally annihilating rebellious human rule off of planet Earth. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him and against his army. And the beast was taken with them, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. Just one word out of his mouth, and Armageddon is won. You do not need to write for a book on who's going to win Armageddon. I know one that's going to win it. It's going to be a one-man battle. Jesus Christ is conquering king, mighty in battle. Hallelujah. The fowls shall be filled with their flesh. Now I'm down to a chapter that I need an hour on. The 20th chapter is probably one of the greatest links in prophecy of all the books in your Bible. There's more revealed in this chapter that's missing in prophecy than any other single chapter in all of Bible prophecy. If you're in this 20th chapter, you're in one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. There's revealed in this chapter where the devil's going to be while we have the millennial reign on this earth. I saw an angel come down from heaven with a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and cast him into the bottomless pit and set a seal upon him in a confined dungeon cell while we saints of God rule and reign with Jesus Christ in a kingdom on this earth. Folks, we're down to something great now. Jesus puts his headquarters in the millennial temple in Jerusalem, and he sits in Jerusalem, and King David is king again over all Israel, and the 12 apostles of the Lamb will be the Supreme Court judges. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a kingdom on this earth that's going to be something else. You say, Brother Brankle, are you sure that that's David himself? Read. When you go home, read Ezekiel chapter number 37. You'll be as convinced as I am that David himself. It's startling that I've been to the tomb of David. They're burning candles and they're putting crowns over David's tomb right now. It's going to be a frightening thing, but one of these days the lid's going to fly off and he's... Father, he's going to come and he himself will be king again in Jerusalem. For God told David, I'll establish your throne for how long? Forever. That's God's eternal plan. And then we're going to reign kings and priests with him over planet Earth while he has headquarters in Jerusalem. And now the devil is in the bottomless pit while we have camp meeting. And now here's a startling thing. Brother Brankle, and I need a lot of time here. This is one of the great revelations. I know the length of God's kingdom day. It's 1,000 years. This earthly kingdom, when Christ reigns on earth, will last 1,000 years. It's 6 times recorded, and that's a startling revelation. I didn't know how long the millennial reign was. In the millennium, it's going to be a glorious day. Did you know that a child will still be called a mere child at 100? People will die during the millennial reign. Yes, they will. Bible lets us know, Isaiah chapter 65, death will still be here because death is not destroyed till the second death is finished its entire work and the last thing has been judged, and then shall the kingdom be delivered up to the Father, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And people will die, but it'll be scarcely known. It's possible to live again through the entire millennial reign, and their people will be as old as Methuselah. Desert shall blossom as a rose, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, the lame shall leap as a hart, the solitary place shall be glad. There'll be streams in the desert. There'll be rejoicing. It's going to be camp meeting jubilee. And the child can play with a rattlesnake. And the ferocious spirit will be taken out of the beast. And a lion will eat straw with an ox. And where the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Christ Jesus himself will reign on earth. And sin will be scarce. And glory will be plentiful. Said, Brother Brankle, do you mean will the devil shut up, there'll be sin? Yes, they will. There'll be people that won't come to Jerusalem to worship him, and there'll be people born with sinful nature, for all of Adam's race is sinful. And there'll be millions born into the natural families, to you that are living on planet Earth, and they'll be conceived and born in sin, and some of them will rebel against going to Jerusalem to worship God, even though the devil is bound. There's something in man's heart that's rebellious, and the Bible said when he does, he'll bring a curse upon them immediately. And there'll be no rain upon their land. It's going to be a mystery age. It's going to be an age when Christ rules. But Jesus Christ, when he rules, does not overrule your will. You still have a will even in his rule. I wish we could spend an hour. I know you got questions. I look on your face. And I'd like to spend an hour here, but time is in essence. Verse number 4 is an important verse you'll want to mark. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we know the tribulation saints are going to be also at that gathering. And the Bible calls this the first resurrection. There are probably several aspects to the first resurrection. There are probably several aspects to the first resurrection. We're going to come out, saints are going to come out in the beginning or at the early part of the revelation. I'm convinced it'll happen in chapter 4. So, saints that sleep in the dust shall come forth. Then your Bible lets us know that there's going to be some two witnesses, two prophets that were slain, and their dead bodies lie in the street, and they're caught up to heaven. And there was a translation took place somewhere in the tribulation. For Revelation chapter 14, I saw 144,000, and they were on Zion's hill, and they were following the Lamb, and he was feeding them. And now then, this scripture lets us know that the tribulation saints that were slain under the fifth seal of Revelation 6, they're in heaven, and they're following the Lamb. So they're going to get in on it also. I want to impress it. God Almighty knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. There are several aspects to the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. You won't have to worry about being tempted of the devil again. There's no more power. Second death will have no power. But you shall be priest of God, and the Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are finished, there's a large family that's been born on planet Earth. Millions and millions and millions will be the increase in population. And God's going to turn the devil loose to try them that dwell on the face of the earth. You wouldn't believe that anybody would swallow the lie of the devil that's lived in the millennium, would you? You couldn't believe that the devil could get an army together, and the Bible lets us know he's going to deceive nations, and there'll be a huge host. He calls them as the sand of the sea. Could you believe when the desert's blossoming like a rose, every man can live and eat fruit off of his own vine, the ferocious spirit will gone, the kingdom and the rule of Christ and the visible temple of Christ is visible, and to see Jesus Christ and to be in company with people with glorified bodies, they'll be able to ascend and descend and move on planet Earth and see as much glory as will cover the earth. You wouldn't believe the devil could deceive people, but he will. That lets me know something, why people lose out with God while I'm holding revival meetings. I said, Lord, how could it happen? But he'll deceive nations, the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. And when he does, he'll organize an army and said, let's do. The only thing that's standing in our way of taking over the kingdom again is Jesus Christ and this bunch of saints, and let's go to Jerusalem and overthrow his kingdom. The devil's always thought that somewhere he could overthrow the kingdom of God, but I've got news for him. When he brings that army to Jerusalem, God Almighty turns them to a crisp. Fire comes out of heaven and consumes them, annihilates, cremates them, and that army is totally disposed with one strike of God's judgment, and he grabs up Mr. Devil and casts him into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and then makes you want to shout. And he shall be tormented forever and forever. Revelation chapter 20, the last few verses of the great white throne judgment. This is when death and hell delivered up its dead. Every wicked man, woman, boy, or girl from all generations will have their fair day in court. God Almighty will let man have their hearing. This is the day when there'll be tears in the eyes of people that'll have to testify against their loved ones. Revelation chapter 21, if it didn't have one verse in there, you could never enjoy heaven. But there's one little verse that's going to let us enjoy it. The former things will pass away. How could I walk through the streets of gold and live in the city of God, live in the bliss of the King and worship in the power of His Spirit, and not have sorrow if I knew I had a family that was burning and charred, blistering furnace of hell? How could I live in it? The former things will have to pass away. At the white throne judgment, when we've witnessed and testified to our loved ones, and I've had to testify against people I've preached to and people I loved, people I've prayed for. This pastor, well, God will say, Pastor, did you witness to these people? Did you tell them the truth? Did you warn them of hell? That's the reason why I promised God I'd never preach another revival that I didn't warn men of the damnation of hell. It's going to be the sad day. That's why your Bible said God will wipe all tears from their eyes. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. And there'll be... Then we come to the New Jerusalem. The great white throne judgment is the day of reckoning, the day when the books are open. That's the day when you're going to need to know above everything else. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our time is gone. I must hurry. Revelation 21 and 22. And this is not doing it justice. I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I saw that holy Jerusalem coming down, a city 1,500 miles square, the capital city where God will dwell, where angels will be guards, where saints will have access to. The gates are 12 gates, and on the name of the gates of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 foundations underneath it seems to be like a pyramid, and on the name of the foundation stones are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Each gate is one solid pearl, and there's no need for the sun to light upon it, for the glory of the Lord lightens the city. And you won't find a temple in that heavenly city. There's no need for a temple, for where Jesus is, His glory is. The Lord, the Lamb, is the temple in that city. It's a Lamb without pain, without sorrow, without suffering. It's a city without without need for an undertaker. No death, no dying, no more pain. If all of the things are in that city, one of the great things is there'll be no more pain. I go to the hospital and hear people crying and groaning. I see the sorrow. I see the trouble. I see a world of unrest. I see homes broken and lives in trouble and sorrow in heart. I want to shout it loud and clear. That's the city where there'll be no more pain. The former things will have passed away. It'll be the city of the redeemed, the city of God, the city of glory, the city of bliss, the city of power, the home of the saints, the household of God. That city hovers down and comes down to this earth after God Almighty renovates and removes every track the devil left on it. For the Bible said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. Brand new. Everything will be new. One of the great verses in this Bible is, Behold, I make all things new. It's going to be brand new. Brand new. We sing it, Wait till you see me in my new home. The heavens is new. The devil has been prince of power of the air. But God's going to create and renew and make it all new. Glory. Time! What a day! What a day! What a day! When we stand in the presence of God Almighty and see Him in all of His glory. And there's one of the verses here you'll want to mark in your Bible. I want to just share it with you. We're going, the kings of the earth will bring their glory into this celestial city. And the Bible said in chapter 22 of Revelation, and you'll want to put it down, Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 4, and they shall see His face. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? He describes the city, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the wonder and the beauty and the glory and the bliss of that glorious city of God. And then all of a sudden he comes to the grand finale. It's not streets of gold or gates of pearl or walls of jasper. It's not mansions. It's not diamonds. It's not rubies or pearls. We want to see Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. To Him be glory forever and forever. Hallelujah. What a day, what a day. Let me hurry then. Revelation chapter number 22. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor. Chapter 21. There shall in no wise enter into that city. I want to give you another little insight to the city. Sin will not be there. There shall in no wise enter into that city anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. Can you imagine a city without sin, a city without sorrow, a city without death, a city without a curse, a city without dying, a city without pain? That's heaven, folks. That's the city of my blessed God. Revelation 21, verse number 8, puts the sinners on the outside, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I want to go to the city. Folks, let me say it again in this lesson this morning. I want to go to heaven. Whatever it takes, let me be in that raptured, redeemed, blood-washed throne that gathers around that celestial glory and crown Him King of Kings. You've got the greatest invitation you've ever been given. Don't treat things down here important. Set your affections on things above. This world's going to pass away. This world's going to burn. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought we to be? David asked the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy throne? He that walketh uprightly, speaketh the truth in his heart, backbiteth not with his tongue, taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. He that putteth not out his money to usury, sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalm chapter 24 said, he that hath clean hands and pure heart shall dwell in that city. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said, the path that leads to glory is a straight and narrow path. Let me emphasize in this lesson, it means something to be ready for the rapture. It's going to be a blood-washed overcoming without a spot or wrinkle. Only the overcomers are promised to be in heaven. Only the overcomers will hear the rapture cry. Be you also ready for in such an hour as you think not. Your Bible said, Paul, let us know that adulterers, fornicators, lasciviousness, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, drunkenness, and reveling, and they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There shall in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth. Romanism, Babylonianism, and Christian Romanism merged together under Constantine, and we got part pagan and part religious practices. There, therefore, men worshiped previous saints that had died, bowed to idols, did a lot of things. But it's startling. I picked up a little article the other day. It was a startling article to me. How many people have been killed, massacred, slain by the power of that seven-hill mother of harlots? I looked at it closely in the Bible, and I read it with caution. And then I found some evidence inside of
of literature that I wanted to share with you this morning. I found in this reading that there has been at least over a dozen priests of the Roman church that were total infidels and atheists. Did not even believe in God that set culture and practice inside of the Roman church. I am not saying to you today that Mystery Babylon is the Roman church, but I am saying Rome is connected with it, and it came out of old Babylon with its paganistic teaching and much of the things that are involved in it today that robbed it of its eternal purpose, that tried to rob the church of its eternal purpose. So we know now it's associated with seven mountains. Then there are seven kings. Seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. Five, I'm convinced this is seven kingdoms. For I know that the seventh one is a kingdom. I know that the sixth one was then in power, so that is a kingdom. So I'm convinced the previous five were kingdoms. If the previous five were kingdoms, and I'm convinced they are, they're five kings, then we begin with Egypt, and then with Assyria, and then with Babylonia, then with Medo-Persia, and then with the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire, which was then in power when John received this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. The next one will be 10 kingdom confederacy. One king will yet come. And out of that 10 kingdom, preacher, how do you know that the next one is the 10 kingdom? Because this eighth one is the man of sin, and he is of the seventh, and he is the eighth, and he goeth into perdition, and it lets me know that he comes out of that kingdom. Daniel confirmed it in chapter 7. Daniel confirmed it in chapter number 8. It's also confirmed again in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. So the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition, and the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms that have received no power as yet, but they'll have power 1 hour with the beast. They'll have one mind, and they'll give their power and their strength unto the beast. Here's a startling thing. I want to give you some differences now between Mystery Babylon and chapter 18 Babylon. Mystery Babylon, God put it in the hearts of the 10 kings, the revised Roman Empire. No doubt its boundaries will be much larger. God Almighty did not confine its boundaries to the old original, but a revised Roman Empire will have seven kingdoms, or 10 kingdoms rather, and the 10 kingdoms, God will put it in their heart to hate the whore and burn her flesh with fire and destroy her, and to give their power not to a Mystery Babylon, not to a woman that is supported by the beast, or that controls the beast. For when I saw her, she was mounted on the back of the beast. But here's what he said. God will allow it and put it in their hearts to burn her flesh with fire, because they will accomplish his will and give their power to the beast till God's perfect will be accomplished. It thrills me how the devil plays right into the hands of God's eternal program. He is in opposition to all of heaven's desire, and yet he plays, and every time he overplays his hand. And exactly now, these 10 kings destroy this mystical religious Babylon. This religious system falls. Don't leave here and say that I've told you that this religious system is the Catholic Church. We're in a day of ecumenicalism, and it could include a mixture of religions that will conglomerate for this last end time prophecy and fulfill this woman. But the Bible does let us know it is Mystery Babylon. She shed the blood of saints. She is a violent martyr of the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ. And God said, I'm going to avenge your blood. Remember, heaven keeps its promises. Now, if you'll move quickly with me, we'll move the city where this, the woman is that city. It's that city Babylon. Out of that city, verse number 18, the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I want you to mark something on your calendar. Watch Iran, Iraq, and Syria emerge as world powers in this end time prophecy. Watch Iran become a major force in world power. We've seen it topple in the last few days, but this Bible predicts it's going to influence things under the rule of the man of sin. This lets me know that no doubt Babylon will be a city that will come into being suddenly under the focus and under the ambition of the man of sin who will be the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 18, you're seeing a city now. It's a localized city. Must be a city of wealth, a city of commerce, a city of trade, a city of sorcery, a city of soothsayers, a city of devil inhabitation, a city of sin, a city of wickedness, vile, corrupt, mighty Babylon. Babylon has oppressed Israel for years. When you read the book of Lamentations, I heard Jeremiah say, there is no sorrow come upon Judah like the sorrow that's befallen us. He said that the wickedness, or the destruction rather, of Sodom and Gomorrah was not compared to the hunger that was brought about by the oppression of Babylon upon the city of Judah. So there's a reckoning day. God Almighty keeps records in his book. One hour this city falls. Now then, the kings didn't destroy her. The kings destroyed mystery Babylon. But this city falls with a violence. God told an angel, cast a stone into the sea. And as this stone is cast into the sea, so will political Babylon fall in 1 hour. And the kings and the merchants lamented her falling. The ships were sitting in the Persian Gulf and they were crying. Cities and men, businessmen and merchants that were trading with her delicacies. And he lists them all. They were crying because Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen, and God sends an angel even, according to Revelation 14, and he circles the earth and announces, Babylon has fallen. Well, when Babylon fell, no doubt the New York Times carried an article, and NBC TV said, what a tragedy has struck. A new city, a city of influence, a city of commerce, a city of wealth, a city of power, a city of wicked spirits. Babylon will be called a liberated city. Every vile thing you want to do will be condoned in that wicked, vile city, according to Revelation 18. But all of a sudden, God's hand of judgment brings Babylon to the ground, and she falls with a crushing blow from the hand of Jehovah, and they get word in heaven that Babylon fell. Hallelujah. Saints don't lament in heaven when they hear Babylon fell. You know what they do? They have camp meeting. While the kings and the merchants are crying, alas, at last, what a tragedy. You know what they're saying in heaven? Hallelujah. Woo! Things you call tragic down here, saints shout over on the other side. Alas, I want to know, are you in the alas group, or are you in the hallelujah group? Hallelujah. I mentioned the disco burned up. Hallelujah. Your paper said, alas, we had a tragedy. The disco burned. Hollywood films, filth and smut went to pot. Amen. Larry Flint quit. Somebody called him a born-again Christian. He's about as much a born-again Christian as a mule is an aviator. Let me challenge you, my brother. This thing changes your life if you get right with God. Things are real when you find real salvation. So in heaven, they got news. When we move to this 19th chapter, and I'm going to have to move here because I've got so much here in one tape we'll not cover. But when you get to the 19th chapter, you've got saints, glorified, hallelujah, raptured saints around the throne, and they're having one more camp meeting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, glory and honor and praise. The book opens with worship, and in the middle of it, it has a wedding, and the last of it, it has a war. Hallelujah. So we've got worship, wedding, and war in the 19th chapter. Let's talk about it a little while. Saints are in heaven are going to have a spell. In fact, to the business, I believe I can tell you what saints are doing in heaven now. I don't believe you go to any any resting place where you sleep for 1,000 years and then he wakes you up. I believe the souls of men are in the presence of my Jesus. There they know what's going on. And if I read my Bible right, the saints that die now go to be straight with the Lord. An angel carries them into the presence of my Lord. Paul said to depart is to be with Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Paul said, I'm in a great strait to go home. He calls it home. I believe the saints are in heaven looking over the shoulder of the recording angel. And every time he writes down a new name that got saved, they have a camp meeting up there. That's why the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repented more than 99. Heaven breaks loose in another hallelujah spell. Hallelujah. But before we get to the marriage supper, there's something got to happen. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, for my time is in essence. But we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I know there's a lot of folks plan on skipping into glory and you're going to just have a spell, but I doubt seriously if that's the way you go in. Now, you're going to have one when you get there. Some of you folks that don't believe in shouting will probably get an apartment next to mine. It'll disturb you throughout all eternity. And I don't know, some of you folks, if you got to heaven, would have to have an angel standing by your side to nudge you and say it's time to say hallelujah again. Let's talk about a little while. You'll appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said it's possible that your works would be burned and you're just barely there. You say, well, Brother Brankle, if I make it, that's all I care. No, you don't. We're going to have an eternal position in the kingdom of God. The Bible said we're going to reign kings on this earth. In fact, to the business, your Bible lets me know there's going to be nations and kingdoms and kings throughout all eternity. Not only are we going to reign in the millennium, but God's going to have leadership, headship, amen, and nations during all eternity. For I've read in Revelation, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to get over there. Revelation 21 of the eternal city, the new Jerusalem, not the millennial Jerusalem, which is literal Jerusalem when the mountain cleaves asunder and Mount Olive opens its mouth. But in the new Jerusalem, he said the kings of the nation will bring their glory into the city and the doors shall not be shut by day or by night. Pastor, we've got an eternal program. I've just got started in this big plan of salvation. Paul called this the earnest. I just got the engagement ring. Hallelujah. But we're on our way to a marriage supper, friends. But you got to come to the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to look back at this life and hate yourself because you live so much for the flesh to gratify the things of the flesh. You'll never miss a prayer meeting, but what, you won't hate yourself. If you make it there, I'm not sure you're going to. Now shout. But if you make it in, you're going to despise how foolish we've lived and how much time we've wasted. Friends, our responsibility is to tell this world about Jesus Christ. And he's going to reward us according to our works. I don't know where it's found in your Bible. It seems like it's in Hezekiah. Where that you're sending up your furniture for your mansion. I've never read it in the Bible, but it seemed like it may be Hezekiah. Any of you read Hezekiah lately? Oh, you haven't. Well, it may be in the second chapter where you're going to have furniture for your mansion. But isn't it going to look strange for some folks sitting on the floor all through glory? When we come over to share with you our testimony, you'll be over in your little dwelling sitting on the floor. Get some works. You're going to be judged by your works. You're saved by grace, but you're judged by your works. And I believe when we see him on the throne in his majesty and glory and power, reigning almighty, immortal, eternal king, we're going to fall before his feet and we're going to cry, my God, how foolish I have been. Your Bible said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Sir, it's going to be a reckoning day. He said we were going to have to reckon with him, with our talents, with our time, with our money. Everything God's given you, you're going to have to give account for him that day. And then what we've done for him. He said in that day, many of their first shall be last. Some of these folks that were the big shots down here are going to be sitting on the back row. And God's going to let some unknown names walk past the whole crowd because they loved him with all of their heart. Hallelujah. And he's going to give them reward. And he's going to position us according to our faithfulness to him and our works we've wrought for him.